News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning, what a beautiful morning in Mobile and Baldwin County it is today. Thank you for listening to Mobile Mornings. It's 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5. So they did debate last night. Most of them that are seeking the governor's mansion and Montgomery. Ivy, no. Mm-hmm. And you would have expected, right? She didn't have to debate.
Right.
I feel like she had. And also,
she didn't want to show off, right?
She wanted, she didn't want to high step in there and shoot her gun.
Right.
Also, it was Dean Young, Orange Beach. It's a long, I mean, you could almost make the excuse for Dean Young. That's a long drive, man.
Right.
Huntsville, that's the other end of the state. Anyway, you know, it was live streamed. It was hosted by somebody on 1819 News podcast. So as far as the opening statements, Lindy Blanchard was the first candidate to give a two-minute opening statement. Of course, she was President Trump's ambassador to Slovenia. She introduced herself as the outsider in the race. Don't people like to do that?
Yes.
I'm the outsider. Look at them. They're all inside.
Makes you wonder who is actually inside.
Exactly.
If everyone's an outsider.
There's nobody inside anymore.
No.
Businessman Lou Burdett opened by going after incumbent Governor Kay Ivey for not showing up for the debate and pointing out that even Joe Biden would debate. Tim James used his opening statement to warn the audience that the country is under assault from within. Warned the audience. He was not warming. He was not warming the audience.
No,
we are in a cultural war for our soul, for our nation, and of course, we've heard that rhetoric in interviews and with Tim James commercial ads. Opelika Church Minister Odell emphasized what he called the threat from the UN, international organizations, and rogue federal government members. There are infiltrators in the camp. We're going to keep Alabama free. So Odell, very much an alarmist there. I don't know that these are the main things that Alabamians are concerned with, but anyway, that's his opinion. Mm-hmm. Springville Mayor Dave Thomas described himself as an ordinary man who has been given extraordinary opportunities. When it came time to look at who's running for governor, it appeared now there are some exceptions to the rule. I'll give you that, but we still have nonetheless career politicians and those who are beholden to special interests. That's what Thomas had to say, and of course, he claims to be none of that. Each candidate railed against Ivy's policies during COVID-19, Burdett proclaiming that the masking our kids was wrong. That's a parent's decision. Churches should have never been closed. Blanchard declared that she is no COVID mandate candidate, and that while Ivy shut down the churches, she shut down the businesses, and she shut down schools, and she masked everyone. She also allowed abortion clinics to stay open. Odell accused Ivy of violating the First Amendment, shutting down churches and schools. Odell also said that the position of the state health director must be changed to an appointment by the governor, confirmed by the Senate, and the governor must have the power to fire that individual if they go crazy, wanting to quarantine us, on and on and on. That was a subject as well as how our state director of health. There's a number of people that we talked to up in Montgomery that have been talking during the COVID, the head of all hospitals, the director of health for the state, how are these people appointed, how does this go on?
Mm-hmm.
Who can be over them to say you've gone too far? So that's some of what was going on last night in Huntsville.
Yeah, interesting. And like you said, you wouldn't expect the governor to show up for that because she's polling so far ahead of the rest. And the only question is whether or not she gets into a runoff with anyone.
What do you think?
Right now, the odds on, I think, would be Tim James being in that runoff with Ivy, I think, if you look at some of the latest polls.
Are there so many candidates, Dalton, it's going to be tough for somebody to get to 10% because they're going to defeat each other?
That could certainly hurt. And, you know, if you didn't know the past from any of these people, which, you know, most voters don't, I'm mm-hmm. sure. If you didn't know Tim James from some of his campaigns in the past and his father being the former governor, or if you didn't know of Dean Odell, who's actually been around Alabama politics for a while, they all kind of sound the same, don't they?
They're trying to sound the same.
Yeah.
Same message,
especially Odell and James, who you know, they're running those alarmist campaigns, and not to say there's nothing to be alarmed about. I think the issues they brought up are certainly major issues. You know, what the UN's influence is over America, immigration, I think nationally should be the top campaign issue right now, or at least very near the top. But when we're talking about governor of Alabama, I mean, I know it's an issue. They've bussed some illegal immigrants into the state, and there are problems we have with that, but it's not the number one state issue, right? And it is about time they hit Ivy over how she reacted during the COVID, during the pandemic. And not to say that she wasn't justified in some of the things she did, but there are certainly things that I'm surprised these candidates haven't lashed out at the governor on earlier. Remember when, I can't remember if she was down here or where exactly she was when the vaccines first became available, and she lost her cool. I think she would even admit she lost her cool.
That was an off the cuff remark. She was at the opening of something. Okay, it might have been just north of here. Anyway, she was there to declare this new business is opened or whatever. And then when someone asked her the question, a reporter from Montgomery maybe asked her about you know, the people not being vaccinated, she lashed out against them. And I'm shocked that it's not in somebody's commercial.
Right. I would play that.
Shocked that it's not in somebody's commercial.
All the time.
Yeah, just like Durant's getting beaten up with his remark about disarming the public. That's playing like a hit song on a radio right now.
You know, in context, out of context, justified, not justified, doesn't matter in these campaigns.
No.
Throw it on the ad and go after them if that's what you're in it to do.
You're
exactly right. Somebody should have had that clip running.
Absolutely. And
also her role, you know, it's, and I'm amazed, I'm not really amazed that the legislature didn't act further on this, but remember the complaint for so much of the pandemic was the amount of power that the state health officer had, Dr.
Yep.
Scott Harris.
That's it.
And everyone was complaining about it, and then they ended up, you know, really not acting on it during the legislative session. And it's because it's too perfect for them. They have something that they can complain about. They can complain about Dr. Scott Harris and his actions, and at the same time not take any or at least deflect some of the heat that's headed their way. So while some of the candidates were saying that Ivy shut down churches and shut down this, shut down that, and masked the kids, she could say, no, I didn't. That was Dr. Scott Harris who did that. That was not Ivy. He's the one who's in charge of that. And then she could say, you know,
point.
Legislature had their chance to change the rules and take power away from the state health officer and even take power away from the governor and put more into the legislative session's hands. But we live in a time now where everyone is so worried about their next election and their next campaign that no one is willing to take any heat anymore. And they're so quick to deflect onto other people what their role should or could be. And it helps Ivy in a race like this where she can say, I didn't do any of that. That was Dr. Harris who did that. But
so,
there's certainly things that are state issues that I'm glad to hear they finally discussed during that debate.
Wouldn't you think among the biggest state issues right now is education? If we could just improve a little bit, if those test scores got up to 40, if we started to see some improvement, like when you're trying to lose, you know, weight, and you drop 5 pounds, you start feeling better about yourself. You feel like, okay, a process is underway here. Things are going in the last 10 years. Things have gone backwards, and that's certainly there's a lot of blame to go around. But we've got the largest education budget in the history of the state, and yet we're where we are, right?
Yeah, it's that you would think ball is on the tee to start swinging.
Yeah.
And that is the one state issue I've noticed that some of these candidates are going after, but there's plenty more. And we were talking about it yesterday. Even if they made regional ads, and some of these candidates, you know, in Mobile, they had ads about the bridge.
I thought that was a brilliant. It was just kind of a throwaway comment, but you nailed it.
Yeah.
That's a good way to campaign.
But, you know, I'm no campaign advisor, and there's a reason that these advisors make that money.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Like you said, I think too many people in this race to have anyone take a huge bite out of Ivy's numbers, but we'll see.
16 minutes after 8, Dan and Dalton, 251-343-0106 if you want to join the show. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 8:20. Love to read your text. 251-343-0106. If you've got anything to say about what we're talking about, if you want to bring up a subject that you're thinking about right now, that's fine to call us as well at 251-343-0106. On Mobile Mornings.
Yeah, and looking at that text line, Paul Lewis says, we just started a recession. It's not in the future, it's now. And it's frightening to think about, but you wonder what things will look like down the line with inflation the way it's looking, and if these food supply shortages come to our shores in bigger shortages than we have now, which I don't think too many people are having issues right now getting food. But you look at what's happening in China, look at the wheat shortage that's certainly on the way with what's going on in Ukraine and Russia, and we're going to have some issues down the line for sure. This texter says, will someone at 106.5 please find out who's behind the Alabama Rhino Pack? Their website contains 2 attack commercials against Durant and absolutely nothing else. Who are they? That's a text from Tony. And, you know, there was a deep dive on 18, I think it was 1819. No, it was Alabama political reporter on Alabama Patriots PAC, but they are the PAC or a PAC that has endorsed Durant. As I'm trying to find some more information out about this Alabama Rhino PAC, they have a YouTube page that was published April 5th. So this month, just about 22 days ago, and there are 2 videos on there that I think were mentioned there by the texter, who's behind Mike Durant, where they mentioned there's some Lincoln Project money behind him, and then the Disarm, the name of the other ad, which I think is currently running on our station. And you look at, you know, there's plenty of sites dedicated to keeping tabs on political spending, and especially these PACs and super PACs. And one of those is opensecrets.org, which has pretty interesting breakdowns for the overall money from these PACs and whether their money is going towards support ads or opposition ads. And then they break it down by each PAC individually. And as far as the Alabama Rhino PAC goes, let's see here. They have spent so far $1.5 million, and all $1.5 million have gone against Mike Durant. No positive ads, and no attack ads against Britt or Brooks. So I'm not really sure. You know, that's more in line with the kind of terminology that Brooks uses, mm-hmm. Rhino, mm-hmm. although I'm sure, you know, Britt doesn't mind seeing some attack ads lobbed towards Durant. But I'll try to find out further on who exactly is putting that money in, because you read this article from Alabama Political Reporter, and it's from Bill Britt, who wrote this. And remember, it just seems like everyone has an agenda these days, and that everyone has someone that they're favoring and that they're going to put ads out either in favor of their candidate or, and not ads, but even articles on some of these websites.
Wasn't it Bill Britt that released this story that about the father,
it seems
daughter,
like, yeah, it seems like there's an anti-Durant story out daily, or at the very least weekly, on Alabama Political Reporter. And they hardly ever write bad things about Katie Britt. I'll just say that. But they did this breakdown, and it's still interesting about this, about Durant's campaign. So they said Alabama Patriots PAC has spent more than $3 million supporting Durant's campaign. Durant says he doesn't know the Super PAC's agenda and claims he doesn't understand why they support his candidacy. So Bill Britt looks further into Alabama Patriots PAC, and all of their money has come from outside the state. And in the first quarter of this year, Alabama Patriots PAC reported receiving just over $2 million from America's Promise, which is a federal super PAC. So it's like there's these shell companies, right? These PACs, and a PAC will give money to another PAC that gives money to another PAC. And then good luck finding out who's actually behind that spending and what their intent may be.
Isn't that something?
So it goes from Alabama Patriots PAC got money from America's Promise, and then Fox Business put out a story that America's Promise is an entity of a more perfect union, which their kind of overall goal appears to be electing moderate candidates, both Republicans and Democrats.
Right. Let's just get along nation, right?
And then this is something that Brooks and I think Katie Britt has hit on, but the political director of More Perfect Union, the PAC that's feeding this pack, that's feeding Alabama Patriots pack, is the former political director of the Lincoln Project, which is was made up of a bunch of former George W. Bush administrators that were on his administration.
As the commercial says, never Trumpers.
Never Trumpers. I think they would admit they're anti-Trump. And they've had some serious legal issues here over these last couple of years. Lincoln Project, where some insane allegations and even, I think, proven children sex crimes with some of their with at least one of the main people behind Lincoln Project. So, kind of like when Parker Griffith came out and said that he's endorsing Katie Britt, and in the Katie Britt campaign, because Parker's a Democrat, are kind of like, you know, you think they'd be thanks, but no,
no
thanks, right?
They're not doing us any favors by linking me with a Democrat.
And kind of the same thing here, having your name associated in a red state like Alabama, a heavy pro-Trump state like Alabama, having your name associated with the Lincoln Project is would normally be a non-starter, but does it matter that they're actually, you know, 3 degrees of separation away, that it's the Lincoln Project funding this other pack, who's funding this other pack?
Coming back to the Alabama, pact or that group is called the Alabama Patriot?
Yeah, Alabama Patriots pack.
Okay.
That's
and,
right.
Are they actually in the state of Alabama?
Well, their money is coming from outside the state.
So there's no money that they have that's from inside the state of Alabama, and their first name is Alabama.
Right. So at least according to this...
Kind of an illusion, right?
According to this investigation by Bill Britt,
okay,
he says that their money is coming from out of state, and we're talking $3 million. But you look back at, I mentioned that opensecrets.org, and they kind of have the breakdown for these three main candidates, how much money's been spent for them and against them. And Mo Brooks has by far had the most money spent in attack ads and ads that are going directly against him. $3.8 million have been spent in opposition of Mo Brooks, which is probably a pretty large reason why his polling numbers eroded over the last year. And again, you know, you hear Jeff Poor, he was talking about it again yesterday, and we'll talk with him later this hour. He thinks that the polling we've seen maybe overrepresent Durant's support and underrepresent Brooks' support. And if that is the case, then we are truly looking at a three-horse race, mm-hmm, because the latest polling had basically Katie Britt just in between Durant's numbers and Brooks' numbers, with about an equal number of undecided voters as well. So when you have equal support for Brooks, Britt, Durant, and undecided, then this race could truly go to anyone. As far as the money spent, $3.8 million against Mo Brooks, $1.9 million against Katie Britt, $1.5 million against Mike Durant, and I think a majority of that has come very recently.
I agree with that.
There wasn't much reason to worry for a while.
Let's see what's going to happen here in the next month and how these campaigns do or do not change. Learning from what's already happened, learning about, you know, seeing what ads spiked or tanked their campaigns a little bit, and see how they deal with it going down the stretch. It'd be in... When you have someone who is such a proficient statewide political observer as Jeff Poor talk about, I just don't get, he's been saying this for weeks now with Durant, I don't get it. I don't quite see where this support is coming from. I don't see the signs. I don't meet the fans. I don't see exactly how he's doing so well in the polls.
Well, I can see where the support for Durant comes, and keeping in mind that there's still a pretty large undecided number. I think it comes from dislike of the other two candidates.
Okay.
And if you have some shadow candidate, which I'm not saying Durant is, but for the longest time, very little was known about Durant outside of his, when he was a POW and his role in Black Hawk Down. People knew that. I think many people are turned off by Mo Brooks and his divisiveness, even though a lot of people like him for that. A lot of people are turned off by that. A lot of people are turned off by Katie Britt because, mm-hmm, maybe it's just because she doesn't sound Southern, or maybe it's because of her connections to Richard Shelby. So when those are the other two candidates, and you have another who is an American hero, a POW, that's where that support's coming from.
All right, fair enough. 830 FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton, your phone calls welcome at 251-343-0106.
835 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Coming to the text line and phones, 251-343-0106. First, we head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Tommy Davis. Hey, Tommy.
Good morning.
So, you know, I've been talking to Louie. I've been talking to some other folks at McConnell, and they're saying, since Tommy came on board, you've got such a variety and large amount of pre-owned vehicles that have come into the lot. You guys have really stacked them up over there.
We do. We have over 100-plus used cars, anything you're looking for. We have cargo vans. We've got passenger vans, which are all hard to find. We've got 4Runners. We got Jeeps. We got Toyotas. We got anything you're looking for. Diesels, two-wheel drives, four-wheel drives. You want it, we got it. If we don't have it, we'll get it.
Yeah, that's awesome. You've been doing such a great job getting that inventory in. And a lot of folks, you know, maybe they want to trade in. Maybe they just want to sell you their vehicle and then figure out what they want to do after that. How can they sell you their vehicle?
Just come by the dealership. We're right here on Dolphin Street. See myself or Gene. We'll be happy to buy your car.
And And you have a great body shop there, and also the website where everyone can check out what's going on at McConnell. That's McConnellAutomotive.com. We appreciate your time, Tommy.
Thank you. Have a great day.
That's Tommy Davis. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
837 FM Talk 106.5, Dan and Dalton, to the text line we go.
Yeah, looking at the text line, let's see here. This is great, actually. CB Carl down at Orange Beach, and he found a boat called the Fat Bottom Girl, which, how great is that? Because the Mobile Bay coin spot.
Yeah, it's a famous.
That is the name in the spot. Wow, and he found it. I was talking about the city of Mobile having issues getting enough lifeguards staffed to keep the four pools open this summer, the four pools that are run by the city. And Phil, he shared that story, and then he said, what about Joe Biden and Corn Pop? You think they'd make some good lifeguards?
That is good recall right there, because Joe was in an inner city pool when he was telling that story, right?
That's right. And I can't recall what Corn Pop said that made Joe so angry. It's just one of many people that Joe Biden has allegedly beat up over the years, according to himself, right?
I guess.
Whether or not that actually happened.
Yeah.
And also...
Joe doesn't have good recall from yesterday. I don't know why he's going to pull out a story from the 50s and we're all going to believe it verse by verse.
I think he was driving an 18-wheeler into the pool and found Corn Pop. And, you know, if you mix all of his wild stories together...
Corn Pop, luckily, was on the high dive and was not struck by the truck.
Let's see. I had another one I wanted to get to here. Because we were talking about the clemency. You know, Biden yesterday came out and for the first time pardoned some criminals, first time in his presidency. I think it was right around 78 pardons that he handed out. And three of those came from right here in Alabama. And let me see if I can pull up the story here, because it was really odd seeing who exactly Biden decided to let out of jail early. And there were three Alabamians who had their sentences commuted, all three jailed on meth charges: Daniel Valencia, Kirsty Smith Israel, and Sergio Acosta. Each of those three had their sentences commuted yesterday. They're not going to be let out right now, but each of them let out April of next year. And all had been arrested separately, I believe, for meth charges, for dealing meth, or, you know, even holding a bunch of meth on them, which officers believed they would soon deal. Acosta and Israel had been sentenced to 97 months. Valencia was sentenced to 135 months, which is, of course, over 11 years. And for some reason, Biden decided to commute their sentences, make them shorter. I'm not exactly sure. Maybe he described why he decided to commute the sentences for meth dealers. You know, usually you see people who have been jailed unfairly. That's normally who you would expect for presidents to grant clemency to. But these meth charges, I just don't understand. Someone on the text line, though, has a theory. Maximus says because they are Hunter's drug dealers. That's why he let them off early.
You do wonder how they choose the incarcerated.
Yeah.
Who am I, you know, how you say, well, we'll let this guy out, the guy next to him in the one jail cell over.
Yeah.
He gets to stay longer. I don't know the science behind all that.
Or the
politics.
Like a Wheel of Fortune kind of thing where they have these people's names out there and you just random drawing. I don't know, but it doesn't make sense to me you know, on its face, why these people jailed on meth charges would be allowed early release. So there you go. And also this texter says, you don't need a pack to place negative ads against Mike Durant. You have Jeff Poor that badmouths him for 3 solid hours on his radio program. Totally unprofessional. 3 solid hours. Can you say that Jeff is singling someone out when he pretty much badmouths every candidate? He seems to me, having known Jeff for a while, he's not apolitical, because obviously it's a political talk show host that he's hosting, but I think he does his best to call balls and strikes.
I think
from
he
everything
does too.
I've seen from Jeff.
I mean, look, part of my assignment for my day is to listen to Jeff Poor, because I've got a lot of learning to do in this business, in this job. I think I've caught up fairly quickly from where I was, my knowledge of state politics, but all of that has been accelerated by Jeff. So as much as I listen to him, I don't think that charge is fair at all.
No, I can't.
He's on for 3 hours. You've got to take into account the commercial breaks. So it's not 3 solid hours of any. But I would say that I'd love to hear from that guy. Give us a call, we'll talk about that.
Off the top of my head, I can think of three for each candidate why he's been so critical. Like with Durant, he's obviously been critical of his not just outsider role, but lack of people just don't really know who he is.
Yeah, he's more mystified by why he's in the position right. He's in the polls.
And we've heard Jeff, with the Mo Brooks campaign, Jeff calling balls and strikes again, said he put way too much of his campaign was based on the endorsement from Trump, which once that was pulled from underneath him, you know, that left Brooks with a major hole to fill with a lot of the voters. And then with the Britt campaign, I mean, it's right there. Her ties to the Business Council of Alabama, how close she's been to Senator Richard Shelby, and, mm-hmm. and how that could be considered a demerit against her in this race. So I think that people, it's just human nature. I understand, because it happens with me, with candidates that I like, and also with especially sports teams that I like, that if I hear somebody talking about them, then I'm like, hey, why are you going so hard on my team?
Right.
Well, it's just because it's because that's the person you're backing, or that's the team you feel closest to. So you're going to take more offense when that comes up.
So is the unnamed texter, we don't know for a fact that he or she is for Durant, but has made the assertion that Jeff has been bashing Durant, which I would say I don't hear it that way anyway. And when things are, you know, as divisive and touchy as politics, you make a good point, Dalton. People hear what they want to hear. We can tell you that for a fact, because we're here, we're here for 3 hours, 3 solid hours, basically bashing each other. So
yeah.
If you don't like that rhetoric, I get it. But so when we get off the air, so often we will hear someone, or even on the text line, accuse us of something, and we're thinking, no, I don't think. I mean, we'll take our medicine if it's due, but often we appreciate you listening, but you seem to hear, many of you, what you intend to hear. Not always exactly what we say. I think that's the case here.
Yeah. Also, looking at the Georgia races here, I found this pretty interesting, as I'm not really sure, you know, when Herschel Walker jumped into politics, I don't think many people had very high expectations that he would come in and automatically start cleaning up. But some new polling out shows that Herschel Walker is well on his way to easily winning the Republican primary for that GOP Senate race, because that's the seat currently held by Democrat Raphael Warnock. Remember the special election, which basically came to a close the day before the Joe Biden, before January 6th, the day before the riots there, and when, you know, basically they approved the vote of the 2020 election.
Yep.
And that was a major, I think that played a pretty major role going in, that you had two special elections in Georgia that that Republicans expected to win going in, and then you had Democrats win both seats. Well, now you have a major push from the Republican Party in Georgia to win back at least one of those seats, and Herschel Walker is going after Warnock. And some of this latest polling in, he's getting 66% of the support in polling for this Republican primary race.
So he's easily going to be the Republican. Now you match him up against Warnock.
Yeah.
Is there any polling to indicate where that would be?
Yeah, the latest polling there, which came earlier this month, Warnock got 45% of the voters in the poll, and Herschel 49%. Mm. So it's there within the you know, the plus or minus of possibly you know, Warnock could be higher, Walker could be lower, but he's polling right beside him and higher in some of these polls. So how about that? What an upset that would be for Herschel Walker to come in.
It'd be time for Herschel to sit down with Tommy Tuberville and say, how do you navigate these waters coming ahead? Because a lot of the media is going to be knocking Walker down. A lot of the media is going to be doing the best to expose Walker's, you know, missteps, right? As he maybe isn't clear, or someone who can articulate exactly what policies he is for and against, because he's brand new at all of this, right? Tommy Tuberville had to do the same thing. You saw articles coming out time and time again during his campaign, kind of mocking him or poo-pooing him a little bit. Most of these coming from the MSNBC, CNN area of the media, and even maybe the major networks as well. But I remember Tuberville being almost just kind of followed word by word, trying to find out where he made a misstep.
Yeah, because Tuberville, you know, same situation with him when he came in. But Herschel Walker's numbers looking good. And then also you look at DeSantis and his reelection campaign. He has raised more money than I think any candidate in Florida ever. $105 million he's raised for his reelection campaign.
Remember how he took advantage of being on Fox News as he was running for governor. You know, non-paid opportunities to be on Fox News and Fox Business News time and time again, and was able to, I don't want to say he was an outsider, but he wasn't necessarily who, you didn't see him becoming the governor of Florida, but he spent so much time getting that exposure to conservative voters on Fox News. It was brilliant strategy.
Yeah.
And an inexpensive strategy at that, too.
That's right.
It's 847 FM Talk 106.5. The beleaguered Jeff Poor. Beat up by our listeners.
He's getting a lot of support.
Good. Good. Okay. We're going to talk to Jeff about a show coming up. We'll do that next. 847 FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton. The show is Mobile Mornings. Thank you for listening. Hey, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. It is 8:53. Going to see you tomorrow in Fairhope, in fact. This should be a lot of fun getting out there and meeting y'all.
Yeah, very cool. The FM Talk team will be out at the Fairhope Civic Center for the Eastern Shore Business Expo. We'll be out there noon to 5 tomorrow. Tomorrow is Thursday, right?
That's
right, yeah. And Sean will be broadcasting Midday Mobile from there. And this is really cool, something that we have not done before, but I'm sure we'll do again and again. We'll have a game where you can win a $100 gift card from Greer's Market in Fairhope, the Fairhope Greer's Market. All you have to do, it's very simple.
Yes.
Is guess how many seashells we've put in the jar.
That's tough.
So come by and see us tomorrow, the Eastern Shore Business Expo at the Fairhope Civic Center. Sean broadcasting live from noon to 2, and we'll be there until 5 tomorrow.
If you have an engineering degree from South Alabama, come on out and stare at that jar a while.
Mm.
See if you can come up with that number.
Should I set the over-under? I don't know. I need to see this jar.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Okay. Jeff Poor is our guest right now. Jeff's got his own show on right after us. Jeff, good morning.
I was going to take a shot at engineer majors from South Alabama, but I'll refrain here.
That ties two of the things together you like taking shots at.
Thanks for laying your bat down on that one, Jeff.
So, you're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome.
You're getting somebody using a bat on your head on the text line.
Yeah.
There's a lot of dumb people on the text line, by the way. I just want to emphasize that, especially Glenn, turn your radio off. You're not allowed to listen to my show ever.
Glenn, I'll have to look Glenn up and see what he did that's got Jeff so riled. We're talking about these. This conversation began with super PACs and who's supporting who and how many attack ads are out there. And shouldn't be a surprise that Mo Brooks has had more money spent against him than any other candidate. Katie Britt has had more money spent for her than any of the other two candidates. But Mike Durant has really been catching the arrows lately, and I think that's because of his rise in the polling. So that brought someone on to say, you know, Jeff takes shots at Durant all the time. I think you take shots at everyone, right? It's kind of balls and strikes.
The thing with Durant is such an enigma. And I don't know. My problem with Durant is... just his response to the attacks, not so much that I really care about his position on a lot of these issues as much as, hey man, do a better job responding to the incoming.
It's like breaking down a football game or something like that. You can look at politics and get super fired up about every single issue, which is, I think, what a majority of America does. And it's not wrong to do that. I mean, these are personal issues. This is why it's such a big deal. But you can also look at it through political framing and say, hey, if I was this candidate, I would have used this against this candidate, or I would have talked more about how I support this. And that's what we were talking about with the gubernatorial race, that it really, until recently, other than hitting Ivy on Alabama's education, people haven't really been going after her for things that they could have gone after her, like with the pandemic and how she reacted through all of that. I'm surprised there haven't been more attacks on her for that.
What I don't understand is, it a matter of laziness that they just really haven't thought these attacks through? It was like when we had Tim James on the very first time and him trying to get his talking points right on the Mobile Bay Bridge that had been litigated thoroughly in the public.
Yeah.
Or is it that these consultants are saying, hey, Joe Biden's not very popular, you need to go after Joe Biden, and that's going to make your star rise?
Yeah. I think that's what it is. They get paid the money to come up with the game plans, and no way, Jose is the legitimate game plan.
And it must work, right, yep. Jeff? I mean, that's why they run them.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that it works. I just think there's a laziness from the consulting class here because, you know, those Roll Tide rednecks down in Alabama, that all you got to do is tell them roll Trump and they're going to vote for you. I don't think it's quite that easy.
I would be a terrible politician. And as much fun as we make of Kamala Harris when she gets up and speaks, but if your job is to not let too much information out, and also don't say the wrong things, but make sure you're saying the right things. For me, I'm an open book. If I'm up there, I'm talking. And that would lead me to saying absolutely nothing the exact same way that Kamala Harris
is. Or the absolute wrong thing.
Right. And so if all these candidates are worried about their next campaign or running for re-election, then it makes sense. They're just scared to get up and say anything.
Well, guys, we're in the radio business, so we get paid to talk. That's why we would be bad politicians. I mean, it's mass communication, right? No, but these guys are overcoached. They're overthinking it. And, you know, you think about how much we think about the gubernatorial campaign. We think about it a lot, but we're probably thinking about it, what, maybe an hour a day at most? These guys think about this nonstop, and I just think they get caught in this bubble and they overthink these things, and they say they try to be very careful with their words.
Yeah, I think you're right. Jeff's up next, y'all. It's 8:59 FM Talk 106.5. Tomorrow, beginning at 6 a.m., us all over again. Dan and Dalton and Mobile Mornings.